And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Well, today is one of those occasions where our prayer book feast day takes precedence over the normal day of fourth Sunday after Trinity. The 24th day of June marks the nativity or birth of John the Baptist. It's one of the oldest festivals, believe it or not, in the Christian church, going back at least as far as the 6th century. St. Luke, in the early chapters of his gospel, weaves together the arrival of John the Baptist with that of our Lord Jesus Christ. We know that the angel Gabriel appeared to John's mother, Elizabeth, some 6 months before he appeared to Mary. So you have the Annunciation of John before you have the Annunciation of Jesus. And therefore, we mark the birth of John the Baptist roughly 6 months before the birth of Jesus. St. John the Baptist is surely one of the most significant persons in all of Scripture. After all, our Lord said of him, "Among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist." Our epistle lesson gives us one of the prophecies concerning John, written hundreds of years before his arrival. Isaiah writes, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." And in our gospel lesson, his father Zacharias, inspired by the Holy Ghost after a period of 9 months of silence, he speaks out and prophesies at his birth, saying, "And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins." The lessons, these two lessons, are linked together as the words of Zacharias echo the words of Isaiah from so many years before. The common thread that ties these prophecies together is that John was called to be the forerunner for the Messiah, yea, the forerunner for God himself. But in the course of his ministry, after he had baptized Jesus in the Jordan River, some of John's own disciples came to him asking why so many of his followers had deserted John and were now going to follow Jesus. And in the course of his response to this inquiry, John tells us how he understood his role as forerunner for the Christ. The words are recorded in St. John's Gospel, where the Baptist said, "Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled." Here John the Baptist reminds his followers that he'd already told them long before that he himself was not the Christ, but the one who came to announce the coming of the Christ. Then he goes on to explain his role as forerunner by using an analogy drawn from Jewish wedding customs. He spoke of Christ as the bridegroom and himself as the friend of the bridegroom. In first century Jewish culture, marriage was a two-step process. First, there was a betrothal that took place between a man and a woman, very similar to what we call engagement, but much stronger. Betrothal was basically a legal contract in which they were considered to be a couple even though the marriage had not yet been fully consummated. When a man entered into a period of betrothal with a woman, he would then return to his home to prepare the place where they would live. The second step of marriage was the actual wedding feast. The feast was typically prepared by the bridegroom at his home. And once he had everything ready, he would then go to get his bride. And when he was on his way to go and get his bride, he was accompanied by his attendants, one of which was the friend of the bridegroom, something akin to the best man. He acted as a liaison between the bridegroom and the bride. And since the bride did not know exactly when the groom would be coming, the friend of the bridegroom would kind of move ahead of the party as they went to get the bride, and he would give a shout to the bride, telling her that the bridegroom was approaching, and therefore she needed to be ready and to come forth. They would then travel back to the actual wedding, and the feast would ensue. So in his explanation of his role regarding the coming of Christ, John is describing himself as the friend of the bridegroom. He had been sent ahead of Christ to announce to the bride that the groom was approaching. Once they were united, the friend of the bridegroom had essentially accomplished his purpose. And that is John's response as to why his role had diminished since Jesus had arrived. Now, with this in mind, we recall two of John the Baptist's most significant statements in his role as friend of the bridegroom. He was sent to Israel, the bride, to announce the arrival of Christ, the bridegroom. This aspect of John's ministry was fulfilled when he came to Israel and essentially shouted, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." This was John's announcement for the bride prepare herself for the arrival of the bridegroom. The second statement in the course of John's ministry that is significant in this regard happened when Jesus came out to be baptized by John at the Jordan River. And you remember that the Baptist looked at him and said, told the people, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." The second statement was essentially John's announcement that the bridegroom had arrived. It's time for the wedding feast. Now, even though we live on the other side of Christ's arrival, the pattern of St. John the Baptist's ministry essentially remains the same. The ministers of Christ are sent by him to call his bride, the church, to prepare for and come to the wedding feast. Looking into the future, this is ultimately the call to be prepared for our Lord Jesus Christ, when he comes again, when he will descend in the clouds and gather together all of his people from north and south and east and west and bring them to partake of the marriage supper of the Lamb. Over and over again, the scriptures teach us this truth, and this theme is especially emphasized during the season of Advent. But there is another sense in which the ministers of Christ are to call his bride, the church, to prepare herself to come to the wedding supper. I'm thinking particularly of the celebration of Holy Communion. And in doing so, we have two messages which essentially echo John the Baptist's message. The first of which is our call for you to repent. The word repent is descriptive of a twofold action, of a turning from sin and a turning to God, to walk in holiness and righteousness. In a few moments, in fact, we're going to have the opportunity to express our repentance in the words of our liturgy. May God give us grace to truly repent by turning from sin to righteousness. The second message that we have is, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." It is no coincidence that we sing those words in our liturgy right before we come to partake of the Eucharist. We do this because each time we celebrate the Eucharist, it is pointing forward to that ultimate wedding feast in the life of the world to come. This meal prepares for that meal. So today, as we celebrate the birth of John the Baptist, we thank God for his ministry as friend of the bridegroom. And we echo his message by telling you to repent and to behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. If we do that, we will be prepared when the bridegroom